Good morning. You're listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. I'm Dave Kopickin.
Good morning. And I'm Kim Hance.
You are Kim Hance. Hi, Kim Hance. Kim and I are from the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here every weekend to talk about...
Well, we're not here every weekend.
Well, the Queens, right. We are here every weekend to talk to you about estate planning and Medicaid planning and answer your questions. And we have offices in Kingston and Albany and Saratoga, and we serve everywhere from the mid-Hudson Valley to the Capital Region to the North Country. And... you know, it's amazing, Kim, how many people actually listen to us or I find out listen to us. And I say that only because, you know, we're actually teaching people. I've gotten lots of compliments, not about me, about us, the Queens Us, right. About how informative the program is. And that really warms my heart because that's the whole point.
Well, it is the whole point, and to hopefully reach folks that, you know, they don't know what they don't know until they know it, right?
I think I read that in the fortune cookie once.
Right.
We'd love to take your phone calls at 518-476-5900 or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. I'm going to get Ben involved for a second because, Ben, whenever Kim and I have a speaking engagement, I'll introduce her as our geriatric care manager and say, I know what you're saying. She doesn't look that old.
She does not.
She doesn't.
No.
But... And she always gives me this look, and it's this fun thing. But I was just thinking about, I'm an elder law attorney, and I don't look that old. Or maybe I do.
That's true.
Maybe I do, and there's no joke there.
Well, I don't know. You're getting a little, you know, as things grow out.
The little I got is gray. Is that what you're saying?
We call them wisdom highlights.
Oh.
Boy, I like that. Then I have wisdom highlights all over my head.
There you go.
You have lots of wisdom.
I must be really smart.
But Kim is a geriatric care manager.
Yes.
It is true.
Yeah.
Whatever you read into those words is up to you. But Kim, I love it when we're on the radio together because not only are we educating everyone else, but you're educating me most of the time as well. So can you, in a nutshell, talk about what you do just as a...
A nutshell.
In a nutshell.
The Cliff Notes version. So really, another colleague and I kind of coined that care manager, geriatric care manager, is a lot like a professional daughter. Hmm. So I work to make sure people understand what services are out there, help them navigate the system because it's very confusing and very convoluted, and you can head down the wrong path very, very quickly. So a lot of what my job and what I like to do is really advocate for the most appropriate and most affordable, most sustainable solutions, because a lot of times what happens, people get stuck in a situation that they didn't either plan for, or they didn't ever anticipate that was going to happen. I mean, how many times do we meet with clients and they say, oh, I promised mom and dad I would never put them in the nursing home. And then what happens? They end up in the nursing home, right? So a lot of what I do is try to advocate for the best solution for folks.
Or sometimes it's the opposite, which is I promised mom and dad they'd live with me, and I didn't realize I got to leave work every day.
Well, and what that meant.
Yeah,
what that meant. I told them I'd take care of them forever. I mean, we meet with people all the time who've had mom and dad with them for 10, 15, 20 years, and things have been great. But then there's that event that happens that then we have to start thinking, I can't leave mom at home all day by herself. And the number of kids that have come to us that have left a job, gone part-time, you know, have to take FMLA, all of those kinds of things, it's a huge, huge burden for family caregivers.
We recently had a client retain us. They had come to one of our seminars, and we went out to the house to see mom. She had to sign a new power of attorney, and we were going to work on some of the Medicaid things for her to stay at home. And she lives with son and daughter-in-law. And I was like, wow, this is great. You have a first floor, essentially apartment, you know, no stairs to deal with. And you got a kitchen here if you need it. And it was amazing. And I said, did you guys build this out? They said, no, we were looking for a very long time for something like this and found it. And I compare that to all the other places that I go when we go see clients at home. And it's like, wow, this house was not meant for the needs that this person has.
Right.
And so you could help kind of recommend things, coordinate things.
Absolutely. Because there are lots of resources out there that people don't know about and they don't know they're eligible for. I mean, everything from, you know, services through maybe Habitat for, you know, Humanity, rebuilding Saratoga. There's the VA. Mm-hmm. You know, right now I've got a couple living at home that we, through the VA, have gotten hospital beds and bars and Hoyer lifts, and they're widening the doorways and they're putting in a new handicap shower. And I mean, it's pretty amazing sometimes what, and depending on what community you live in, every community has a little bit of a unique program, if you will.
Yep.
So it's really knowing where to go and what to access and kind of what the rules are behind all of that too, and the red tape that's involved, because generally in all of these programs, there's a lot of red tape that you need to kind of muddle through before you can actually access some of those services.
Very cool. Well, we have we got an hour, and I had some plans for our hour. First of all, I want a couple times we're going to be telling you about our seminar schedule coming up next week, because we have our most popular seminar about the difference between wills and trusts. There's a lot of confusion there, so we'll share that schedule a couple times along the hour, and how you can reserve a seat at one of those. Since we have you, Kim, you know, other than answering phone calls that we may get, I wanted to kind of walk a client through, a prospective client, a listener on the radio. Okay, so what does it all mean? This is all confusing. Can you put it together? I come in because my parent needs care. Mm-hmm. What is that initial meeting like? What are we talking about? What are the different, because sometimes, you know, I'll talk to people, they'll say, oh, do you do wills? And I'm like, you don't know what I do, do you? And when we say elder law, and when we say, you know, care managing and long-term care, a lot of people maybe won't connect the dots unless we really hit them over the head with some things. So let me give people a scenario, and then we'll kind of go from there. Is that all right, Kim?
Sure.
Cool. I was going to do it even if you said it wasn't all right. Just so you know. Yeah. Okay, so siblings come in. Sister and brother come in because mom's not doing so well. Mom is still living at her own house, but, you know, they're spending some more time out of work checking in on her. Couple bills are going unpaid. You know, she may or may not have some form of dementia or at least age-related stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they come in and typically they'll meet with the attorney. So Jane Marie or Debbie or Harry or myself. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go through what the, you know, mom's going through in general, right? Forget all the money, forget all the planning. First, it's like, what's going on? All right.
Right.
And we want brutal honesty, right? Everything that you know, we don't want to hear the best day for mom. We want to hear the kind of the worst day,
right?
Because things kind of will proceed that way. And we'll then turn to assets, and we'll see what mom has. After all, when we're talking about care options, what you have really will impact how we can pay for what you need. We'll also talk about whether you have this power of attorney, which we mentioned probably every weekend, mm-hmm. how important the power of attorney is. So a power of attorney allows your agents, whether it's your kids or spouse or whoever, to do certain transactions for you. We really want that power of attorney that you have to allow your agent to do a lot of this elder law planning, crisis planning, moving assets around, creating trusts if need be in the moment to help mom qualify for stuff. And if it sounds like, yeah, you know, maybe you need some help at home or you know, you're thinking of going to take mom to assisted living, or you're coming in because mom was in the hospital and where's rehab going to be and all that stuff, pretty quickly we're going to get one of our Medicaid paralegals in on that consultation as well. And the job of whether it's Mike or Jessica or Karen, along with the attorney, is to basically come up with the best solutions, the way to get the most care and spend the least amount of money, is in a nutshell. Now, we're not going to go through all 1,000 variations of that right. conversation. But if it turns out that they're going to need some form of long-term care, Kim, the next call is going to be you, or they will have retained us for X, Y, and Z, and we're going to then bring you in on the conversation. A lot of the time, what we're going to end up doing for people is move their assets around so they financially will qualify now or in the future for services through
right.
Medicaid,
right.
usually the community Medicaid program. And hopefully, even if someone never got through, you know, pre-planning 5 years ahead of time, we're going to be able to use a crisis plan to at least bridge the gap, hopefully, subject to what you think. Okay, so I say, Kim, we have this client. These are the needs. These are the assets. They're thinking either assisted living or care at home, possibly eventually nursing care.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing you're doing?
Well, the first thing I'm doing is sitting down with the families and really trying to understand where the person that they're needing the care for actually is. Because a lot of times it's not always what it seems.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times families think, oh, mom and dad are just needing a little bit. They don't, you know, they just need somebody maybe for a few hours a week type of thing. So generally what I'm really wanting to do is to do a home visit because the environment that the potential client is living in tells me way more than somebody sitting around a table.
And that can go both ways, right? So you may have a daughter say, you know, it's just a couple hours here or there, and it ends up being a lot more. Or you know, the client's children are saying, oh my God, no, she's got to go somewhere.
Right.
And you're saying, wait a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, because a lot of times what happens is they go to the doctor and the doctor says they need 24-hour care. Or the hospital is saying they need 24-hour care. And 24-hour care can happen in lots of ways. So a lot of what I'm doing is kind of doing that investigative work to find out, is it an actual person that needs to be there for the 24 hours? Or can we bridge the gap with maybe some assistive technology? You know, there's great video cameras now. There are the fall detectors, the help me, you know, help I fall and I can't get up buttons. So there's lots of ways for us to effectively get 24-hour, what we call 24-hour care in, but maybe not necessarily a person. It's also understanding the reality of a situation. I mean, if somebody really does need 24-hour supervision, we know we're not going to get that through a home care, you know, Medicaid-funded home care program.
Right.
So, chances are, although I did just get a client approved for 24-hour care, which is really exciting.
So most of our clients that do community Medicaid will end up with far less than 24-hour care.
Correct.
And they're going to, I'd say most likely elect to have people they know or family members be the caregiver. Probably maybe it's 50-50.
Right.
So you're going to walk them through the different options within community Medicaid, assuming that care at home is going to be appropriate. And you know, there's pros and cons to all of them. And I've heard you explain them to clients a lot of times. Like, for example, if someone is in the throes of dementia and you can, through one of the waiver programs, get them 16 hours a day of care.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be that much if they go with a different program within community Medicaid where it's, you know, their daughter who's taking care of them, for example.
Correct.
So how does that, I don't know if it's radio appropriate to go through because I don't want people to drive off the road because they're so confused. But essentially there are, within community Medicaid, there are these waiver programs that people may qualify for based on their needs.
Right.
And if they do, it may mean a lot of hours, but the services are not going to come through daughter necessarily. It's going to go through an MLTC, managed long-term care provider.
So an insurance company.
Yep.
You know, and that's a big part of really what I sit and talk to families about, because they really need to understand, and even from a provider perspective, because this managed long-term care, this insurance, has been the thing that's been pushed for the longest. And so you referenced waiver programs. That's been kind of left by the wayside, but it's definitely a program that we utilize. But I'm also looking at the time frame of services that are needed and how long each program takes, because some of the programs can take 4 to 6 months, even into 7-8 months to actually provide the service. So if we've got a family that's in crisis, we have to put something together that happens a little bit before 7 or 8 months. So trying to figure out how we can put things together, keep the person safe, get them what they need. So sometimes we're utilizing multiple programs at the same time and not just telling the family, well, this is the way it is. A lot of times we get people and that's what's happened.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there waiting. So instead, what I really try to do is do a deeper dive to see if there are other things that they could qualify for, either through Office on Aging, you know, through the Eddie Alzheimer Services, through Catholic Charities. There are lots of organizations out there these days that have opportunities. I mean, do we look at a day program to kind of help in the interim? You know, day program being like a social club, social center type of thing. So, you know, maybe that can bridge the gap, especially for working kids, you know, because that gives a daytime place for the person that they're taking care of, place to go, whether it's spouse, parent, things like that. So it really is a puzzle. And it's managing all the pieces and getting them kind of put together. And sometimes we start something, and as we know, it's like, oh, that's not quite the right fit. So,
have you used the line, or maybe it's someone else, you're putting the puzzle together without knowing what the box looks like? Have you used that before?
Oh, I haven't, but I like that.
I like that too. Yeah. You should use it. I've heard it somewhere, so wherever I heard it, shout out to those people. If you're driving in South Glens Falls or around there, and you're tuning through 96.9 or 1410 AM. This isn't the hits of yesterday and today, at least not for this hour. It's a state and Medicaid planning. We're the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here every weekend. And we'd love to have some phone calls, so you can call us at 518-476-5900 or toll-free at 1-800-WROW-590. Kim, you mentioned services at home, and we hope that our clients can get services at home because most people want to stay at home when there's things like dementia. I think that it almost benefits them more to stay at home. I mean, there's great services and memory care units and things like that, but I personally, unscientific opinion, that the more old pictures you could see on the wall and the more rooms that you've lived in your whole life, the better. That's my, I don't know if it depends.
And that's what I always tell people, because a lot of times folks with dementia at home, while they're surrounded by their familiar things, there's a lot of isolation with that as well. And so somebody becomes isolated, you know, the old, adage, if you don't use it, you lose it sort of thing.
Yeah.
People really do get to the point where that they need interaction, right? We're human beings. So we need to be, you know, back and forth with one another. And sometimes when you're in a facility, you get that engagement. You get, you know, you get participate in things that you wouldn't. And the number of people that tell me all the time, no, my parent absolutely would not like that. That's not for them. Let's just try it. Now, I'm not even talking facility, like day program.
Day program.
You know, they're with their other senior peers. And, you know, all of a sudden you've got a couple of, you know, our World War II veterans are slowly leaving us, but you get a couple of veterans that are together and they start talking about, you know, sharing.
Or Korean War, we got a lot of those.
Well, no, right. Yeah. And, you know, that bonding over a commonality that we don't get from, you know, kids, because their kids have not lived through that era, right? So they don't really understand, kind of. And a lot of times kids feel like they need to be all. They need to be the caregiver. They need to be the companion. They need to be the housekeeper, shopper, that kind of thing. And you get to a point where then we have a relationship where it's very adversarial.
Yep.
Because the kids are feeling so pressured. And half the time, kids also are raising a family as well, right? So they've got it from both sides.
So, you know, just like when someone needs estate planning and no two fact patterns are going to necessarily need the same trust, or, you know, the family dynamics matter, you know, all these different things matter, right? Who gets what one day when you're not here anymore? Whatever you want may not be what someone else wants. So it's not like it's cookie cutter. Every plan is custom. With the care plans, it's kind of the same way. So there may be someone who secretly needs that social contact, and there may be someone else who their life is just taking care of their garden and knowing that the tomato they're having came from their backyard and stuff like that. And if that's the case, right, you can help them maintain that lifestyle. And if that's not the case, and they're on the, you know, third floor of a walk-up, well, you know,
right,
we got to figure some stuff out.
Right, absolutely. You know, and it's also looking at the big picture of things. I mean, a lot of times we have couples coming in, you know, both are aging. And while we might be doing the immediate planning for somebody who's in that immediate need for care, we also need to look at this other aging person who's been a caregiver, who, you know, that there's something very well that could happen to that person, right? So, I mean, Debbie and I had two clients that came in to visit us the other day, and Both fairly young. I mean, they're in their mid-70s.
By the way, everyone, mid-70s is young.
Young, it is.
You are young.
It's very young. In this world where we're dealing with 90 and 95, 100-year-olds on a regular basis. I'm not talking...
We have some young people in their 90s, too.
Yes, yes. But, you know, so we're potentially making a plan for the next 25 years for this couple, which, when you think about it, is still quite a long time. And one of the things that I noticed, so the wife has early onset Alzheimer's. She's still driving. She's still, you know, but they're really wanting to be proactive and make a plan. And so we're really focused on her, right? We're focused on making this plan for her. Well, then her husband got up to go to the bathroom and I'm watching him and he is really struggling physically. Mm. Like had a hard time getting up from the chair. When he stood up, he needed to stand there for a minute to kind of really get his...
Like, who's this consult for exactly?
Well, so I kind of mentioned that as because that tells a lot, right? And we were talking about making all these plans for the wife, and I said, well, that's great because, I mean, we sort of have the crystal ball with her and that we know she's going to need services down the line, not mm-hmm. tomorrow, maybe not next month, but we're making those plans. I'm like, but we also have to look at this other person who... You know, and in my opinion, physically is going to need some help too. So we really have to look at, you know, I often say like we have to look at each picture holistically and we have to treat each person as an individual. And we can't just, because how many times do we have that the caregiver, actually it's not so much the person with the diagnosis, it's the caregiver that something happens to and suddenly, oh my gosh. Not only am I dealing now with dad because he just had a stroke or a heart attack or whatever, now I've got mom at home needing care, and now I got two people that are, you know, that we're taking care of.
Again, unscientific thought, but I think it's a little more stressful for the caregiver than the person who has a
Absolutely.
Form of dementia because, you know, they're maybe not thinking about the 30,000 things that got to get done and also... You know, cooking food and when's shower time mm-hmm. going to happen, all that stuff. I mentioned that we're going to have seminars next week, and I wasn't lying. The topic is wills versus trust. It's our most popular topic because, and most people can relate, you know, everyone knows they got to do some sort of plan, and a will is an option, a trust is an option, both are options, and it really depends on what's going on in your life, what we're trying to avoid, for example, probate. And there's a lot of misconceptions about what probate is. So I really recommend that you or your friends and family come to one of our seminars next week, Tuesday, February 12th at 2 p.m. We're going to be at the Glenn Sanders Mansion in Scotia. That's 1 Glen Avenue, Glenn Sanders Mansion, Tuesday, 2 p.m. Wednesday the 13th at 10 a.m. we're going to be at the Holiday Inn Express in East Greenbush. That's 8 Empire Drive, technically in Rensselaer, New York, but it is the East Greenbush Holiday Inn Express. Later that afternoon, we're going to be in Clifton Park at the Hampton Inn, 620 Plank Road. Again, that's Wednesday, February 13th, 2 p.m. And then in a very romantic engagement, Thursday, February 14th, 2 p.m. at the Queensbury Hotel. I couldn't think of a more romantic location. 88 Ridge Street, Glens Falls. And I'll be there.
Or a romantic thing to do with your date, right? Let's go.
Bring your mom.
Date.
Why not? It's all right. And if you want to see it at one of those seminars, 518-465-7581, or you could email us at info@herzoglaw.com. And if you're saying, listen, this is riveting radio, we just want to listen, I appreciate that, so does Kim, but we'd love your phone calls. 518-476-5900. Toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. Kim, you know, we mentioned care at home, right? That's great, but your job description is not just care at home, right?
Nope.
There's people who may need assisted living or there are sometimes clients who I say, Kim, I think this is going to be a nursing home. And you come through and you say, I don't think so, Dave. This is going to be assisted living because why, you know?
Right.
So can you touch on that a little bit in the couple of minutes we have before the break?
Yeah, I'm just working on a situation right now where the same thing happened. We have a client that had a hospitalization, and really the hospital was just looking to get them out because their Medicare, you know, their time was up. They weren't qualifying for a medical need in the hospital, and so ended up in a nursing home. And because they weren't there for what we consider rehab, they were private paying. Mm-hmm. And he's a gentleman that definitely doesn't need skilled care. And upon looking at the initial fact pattern from when the client came in, it kind of started my wheel spinning, thinking, this doesn't sound like a nursing home to me. So I reached out to the sister who lives in Pennsylvania. You know, our client is 85, and both siblings who are trying to deal with this are also aging. So it's very hard for them because I don't believe he has children. So there's really no one else to kind of pick up the slack. So I've spent a lot of time the last couple of days having several memory care assisted livings come in and assess him. And it looks like he will happily be going to an alternative facility probably Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, which is great. Because right now at the nursing home, they have a wander guard on him. He's on one wing, whereas in a memory care, they're wide open. He can walk, you know, without being told you can't go there, without alarms going off. A lot more appropriate setting than a skilled facility. And I'm not saying nursing homes are bad. They certainly serve a purpose. But it's not the old, you know, especially for our folks that have memory diagnosis, it's not the best place for them. Generally speaking, until they get to a point where they are full care, really are, you know, when we're talking about people who are ambulatory and need stimulation and a good supervisory environment, really a skilled facility is not the best place.
So the client you were talking about is one of my clients, and I'd like to get into that fact pattern as an example of you know, the different considerations involved, because in my opinion, I think in your opinion and in our firm's opinion, the care is the most important. It's not about saving money. It's not going to be what's the option that will result in the most savings. It's going to be what's the right amount of care. And then once we figure that out and it's all, everyone's on the same page on care and we have equal care options, then we'll turn to how do we plan and save a boatload of money and avoid probate and do all those things. It's very involved. And the other thing I wanted to mention right before the break, you know, people go to hospitals, people then go to rehab, and they hear, and they come in, they say, we were told mom needs to go to a nursing home. We were told this, we were told that. The people who told you those things don't represent you. They don't represent your mom. The difference between having a care manager like Kim or an elder law attorney like one of the attorneys at our firm is that we represent the client. The client is mom. The client is dad. So the best interests of that client are what's important, not the best interests of their daughter or their son or the one who wants to save more money.
Right.
It's the parent. It's the care. And we'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back. Good morning. I'm Dave Kubikian. Good morning, I'm Kim Hance.
Oh, good morning, I'm Kim Hance. I just figured you're going to take this next part by yourself.
No, they want to hear your voice. Kim and I are from the Herzog Law Firm. We're here every weekend talking estate planning, Medicaid planning, care options, stuff that you may not want to talk about or think about, but are so important because you have options now. You have more options than you think. And the longer you go, the less options you have. You'll always have options, though, right, Kim? Always.
Always.
They dwindle.
They do. As you wait and as you, you know, kind of avoid, you do narrow down those options and the choices that you might have.
Right now, this hour, we've been talking about long-term care and the different considerations and what someone like a geriatric care manager like Kim is going to look at, think about, and walk you through. But that's not all we're here for this morning. We'd love to take your phone calls about estate planning, elder law, guardianship, special needs trust, this, that, whatever. You want to complain about the Pats winning a sixth Super Bowl, we'll take that call. We could probably get a couple oldies on if you really requested nicely, too. The number to reach us at is 518-476-5900, toll-free at 1-800-WROW-590. We'll go through our seminar list about two times for the rest of the hour, because we have this great seminar on wills versus trusts. And Kim, last time you were on, there were lots of phone calls.
Yeah.
And Ben, you were here then too.
I was here.
And I heard a rumor that all I need to do is say that when you reach a certain age, you got to get off the road. And we'll get a lot of phone calls.
Oh.
Is that true?
Oh, we did start. We did do a lot of talking about driving.
You guys talking about Prince Philip, I think?
Yes, we did.
If we could talk about that, I could say at a certain age, get off the road, but I don't really mean that.
Well, but I think, one of the things that Jane Marie and I were talking about from a care management perspective, it's not just care, right? Like, because a lot of times people, they're moving into care, but there are a lot of other things that they're looking at. You know, they're looking at downsizing. They're looking at needing to maybe retrofit their house. They're looking at, maybe they want to make a move closer to their kids. So that's really where a care manager can benefit, because we're kind of like that. If you think about looking at a wheel, you know, there are all these spokes that come out from a wheel, and the care manager's kind of in the center of that wheel and really looking for all of the different angles to make that circle complete.
You're really making yourself sound important. The middle of the wheel.
We are important. We
wow.
Are, you know, the center of it all.
Absolutely.
Well, but it's true. I mean, because sometimes we're dealing with a contractor, we're dealing with the kids, we're dealing with the clients, we're dealing with the home care agency, we're dealing with the VA, like all of that. So, I am the center of it all.
Well, you see what we did there? We talked about
driving.
Not driving, and Pat in Mechanicville answers the call. Hey, Pat, how are you?
Good morning.
How are you? What's up?
I occasionally listen to your program, and the one thing I never hear anyone speak about is advice to never married, no children, no siblings. What do we do? I'm 71. I'm living in a 55 and older community.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
I love this question, and I have a fantastic answer for you. Whatever you want. So in terms of who gets, like, one day when you're not here, where does all your stuff go? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where do you want it to go? You know, if you don't have people, there are some great causes out there. Whatever's important to you in life, right, you can do it. And we can make that happen. It's just words on a piece of paper. We could take care of any of that. In terms of planning in advance, and okay, yeah, I have some things important to me, Dave. Now, how do I make sure it's as much as possible, because I want to be prudent and plan in advance? Well, you do the Medicaid trust of the world or whatever fits your fact pattern. And when it comes to who that trustee is going to be for the trust, because it can't be you, well, that's where you may have a little, you know, a toll booth stop there. And we have a lot of clients that deal with that, whether they have a family or not. They sometimes have a really hard time with who their trustee is going to be, who's their agent going to be on a power of attorney.
Right, right.
And, you know, Kim will do it for like 10 bucks if you want to. No, I'm okay. It's tough, but, you know, you can pick friends. And my friends are as old as I am. I don't care. You pick people that are good for right now, and you could pick backups to them and backups to them.
Yeah.
And the job of those people is set in stone. You kind of wrote it out in the trust. So they're just going to effectuate your plan. But, you know, the fact that someone may not have a spouse or children or even siblings, I mean, I say this in the nicest way. We don't care. You have stuff that matters to you, and you decide where it all goes.
And I often say it's most important for folks who don't really have like a legacy for things to follow to make those plans, right? Because we end up really sitting around scratching our heads a lot of times if there's an event. And we talk about this all the time. I mean, I could be in a car accident driving out of here, Dave, you know. So it's super important for people to really understand what what we need, yeah. what we want. And the only way to do that is to do those documents.
Well, so when you're going to like a physician's office or the emergency room and they're saying, well, who's your next of kin? We have to have an emergency contact. And you're going, well, there is none.
Well, emergency contact is different than next of kin, right? So you could have anyone be your emergency contact. If you stay on the line after the call, Ben will give you his contact info to write down on the form. But really, it's anyone you want, right? Those are important questions. They need to talk to people. You should have an agent for your healthcare proxy. And it could be a friend. There's nothing in the law that says family members need to be involved. And because of that, you can pick anyone you want.
Okay. And is that something that you facilitate or...
Yeah, we certainly can help you with those advanced directives, healthcare proxy, power of attorney. We can do a will for you, a trust for you. We could do all these different things. But what's most important is I want you to know that they got to get done. You know, I don't care who you use for it. But just because your family tree looks a certain way doesn't mean that you don't have an estate plan worth giving out the way you want and worth protecting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, both.
And, Pat, I think you should come to one of our seminars and get some more information on it, right? I mean, I truly think our wills versus trust seminar is right up your alley and can help answer some of these questions. Conveniently, it's going to happen next week. So Tuesday, February 12th at 2 p.m., we're going to be in Scotia at the Glenn Sanders Mansion. That's 1 Glen Avenue. Wednesday the 13th, we're going to be at two places at two different times. 10 a.m., we're going to be in East Greenbush at the Holiday Inn Express. That's 8 Empire Drive. And at 2 p.m. on Wednesday the 13th, we're going to be in Clifton Park at the Hampton Inn. That's 620 Plank Road. Best cookies in the game. Right, Kim? Yeah, best cookies. Second best. Queensberry is very good, too.
Yeah.
And speaking of Queensberry, Thursday, February 14th, 2 p.m., pre-Valentine's Day dinner, you can get some info on wills versus trust at the Queensberry Hotel, 88 Ridge Street in Glens Falls. And I'm talking to specifically all you people at 96.9 and 1410 a.m. who are now listening to us.
I know, in the North Country.
We'd love to see you in Glens Falls at the Queensberry Hotel. If you want to sit at one of those seminars, you can call our office at 518-465-7581. You can email us at info@herzoglaw.com, or you can call Ben Patton at 555-55.
Yeah.
Put them all together. That's right.
So, great call by Pat. Look, everyone needs to have a plan, but it's whatever you want your plan to be. And I think that people really need to understand that. And sometimes they assume that because they don't have this or they don't have that, that they don't need to have a plan. Everyone needs to have a plan, and it could be really simple, be really complicated, be anywhere in between, just have a plan.
Well, we often talk too. I mean, people, you know, because it's our specialty, elder law, estate planning, you know, people think it's only older people that need to do this, but really it's anybody over the age of 18. I have a lot of friends whose kids are getting ready to go off to college. And so one of the things that I'm telling them is get the power of attorney for your child because, sure. you know, things happen and you want to be able to have access to whatever you need to do in order to help that child if they're somewhere and in a hospital or you know need you to act on their behalf. Having that power of attorney just safeguards having healthcare proxy and really understanding what those things mean. You know,
if you want a copy of their transcript and their first semester grades at college, power of attorney, that can help.
True.
It's so
true.
Weird. Your grades didn't come out this year at all. That's so weird.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's so different now. It's so different now. I guess it's all computerized technology, you know. They don't come in
now
anymore.
You do sound like a geriatric care manager.
Right. Well,
ba-dum-bum. Okay, so Kim, you mentioned a fact pattern for a client that looks like you're going to help move them from a nursing facility to an assisted living with memory care facility.
Mm-hmm.
And there's huge ramifications to that in terms of money and how you finance the care that you're getting. Number one priority is the care, right? We explain all the care options and you talk with your family, you figure out what is the right care.
Mm-hmm.
And then our attention entirely shifts to how can we protect every last dime if possible. the options with assisted living are different than the options with care at home.
Correct.
And different than nursing home care financing options. Specifically, Medicaid isn't normally going to be something we can use. At the end of this discussion, we'll talk about some facilities that actually may take Medicaid and how that works, but I don't want to confuse everyone. So let's just go on the assumption that assisted living with memory care, that's going to be all private care by this client that we have. He doesn't happen to have long-term care insurance. So whatever the cost of that facility, and with memory care, it can get $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000. That's going to be private paid by the client.
Correct.
If that person was going to need nursing home care and we were able to do either a crisis plan or plan in advance, we can have Medicaid cover the cost of that nursing facility, mm-hmm. either after some sort of penalty period, which we watered down as much as possible, or right away, whatever the fact pattern may be. Okay. And so the question that people have, really the question I posed to them, is not about what does this person need today, but what's their trajectory and what's their, medically, you know, are they going downhill fast? Are they going to be here in 6 months? These really tough questions, because I don't want someone to be in assisted living in memory care if it turns out that in 3 months they're going to need the nursing care, right? I'd like to look in the future, but we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
So how do you kind of deal with that conversation with clients, right? The right fit right now, assisted mm-hmm. living, memory care, or just assisted living, maybe it turns into memory care, maybe it turns into nursing home. How does that work?
So, I mean, it takes all angles. I mean, we're looking at the diagnosis a person has, and it may just be, somebody may just have a dementia diagnosis. But then I'm also looking at maybe some other chronic illnesses they have. You know, do they have COPD? Do they have diabetes? Do they have so? And what are the primary concerns, both medically and, you know, with a cognitive diagnosis like dementia? We're also looking at, at the financial picture. So for this client in particular, it was just getting him out of the nursing home because he was private paying the nursing home. So we need to stop the bleed immediately. And he wasn't appropriate for nursing home. So there, it was kind of twofold. So it was both financial and appropriateness. And now we're going to, okay, so now we transition him to the next stage. And then we're looking at the much bigger picture, because we don't really know, because it's his brother and sister that have been kind of dealing with him. So we don't really know what his financial picture is yet, right? We don't know the whole picture. So at least we have him in a kind of a temporary hold. He's in a place that's safe, providing his care. And we may be looking at the next option, which could be, a community that accepts Medicaid from the perspective of assisted living. You know, there are a couple in our area, and so we may be looking to make those future plans for him. We don't know, but it just seemed the most responsible thing at this point to, and that's what I tell people. I mean, we're going to look at the here and now. We're looking at the crisis.
Yep.
And then I want to look 6 months down the road, and then I'm going to plan for the next 18 months to 5+ years, depending on other diagnoses, kind of what the fact pattern has been for this individual, and what are other things that we can access and resource. You know, it could be that he goes to an assisted living for a while, and if he doesn't have the financial means, that we do apply for community Medicaid and move him back home.
Yep.
But in the meanwhile, the home may need to be cleaned up. It may need to be, prepped to get ready to bring him back. So lots of different things go into play when we look at a long-term plan for somebody. And that's when I talk about sustainability. Like, yep. What plan makes the most sense for long-term sustainability? And that's really important. And I think a lot of people kind of don't think about that. They're just thinking about the here and now.
Yep.
And I think that's one thing that we're all really good about, because we'll sit around a table and we'll talk about a client, and we kind of play off different options and different scenarios that make sense. And Jay Marie and I met with a client yesterday who ended up going to the nursing home. I didn't think it was a good fit for him, but they're really happy, and dad is adjusted. And so we're like, you know what? We're going to leave well enough alone. He's happy. We're not going to talk about making another move, because sometimes making another move is also traumatic.
Yep.
So you really do have to look at each situation individually and look at family and look at, because he lives in California and dad's here. So moving somebody home when you're next person is in California, 3,000 miles away, that's a huge, he's not readily available to kind of step in. So we also want to know what kind of family participation we have, and is it reasonable for family members to be the backup, to be the, you know, the person who's going to be there if somebody doesn't show up.
You mentioned community Medicaid and assisted living with community Medicaid rules. So in general, for everyone out there, right, within the Medicaid program, when it comes to long-term care, there are there's certain criteria to qualify for nursing home care, and that involves something called a five-year look-back period. So if we haven't planned in advance, our best-case scenario is going to be saving about 50 cents of every dollar when we are doing what we call a crisis plan. It's nursing home, and we didn't plan in advance. Community Medicaid is the care at home or care outside of a nursing home. And there the rules are different. There's no look-back period. Medicaid actually wants you to use community Medicaid. It's cheaper for them. They don't want someone who needs 6 hours of care to get 24 hours of care in a nursing home, right? They want you to get that care at home because you pay the taxes at home and you pay the water bill, right? Mm-hmm. And you pay National Grid cable and all that stuff. So the qualifications are a little different, right? That client who needs community Medicaid, we can create a trust today and they qualify March 1st because we're able to take assets and put it into this trust and they qualify with no look back period, okay? 5 year look back period for nursing homes, no look back period for community Medicaid care at home. So sometimes money's going to decide what happens because there's not enough money to private pay for the middle option, which is assisted living. Now, there are a couple facilities, as Kim mentioned, who are starting to set aside beds for Medicaid coverage, but the facility is assisted living. So the Medicaid coverage that they will take and set aside beds for is not the nursing home Medicaid with the five-year look-back period.
Right.
It's the community Medicaid with no look-back period. So there it gives us another option because it allows us to instantaneously create eligibility for Medicaid because of no look back period. So maybe we'll throw things into Medicaid trust and not only are they getting assisted living, but we're able to protect in some cases all of their assets and in a lot of cases most, if not all, of their income, which is not how it works with nursing homes. Now, if it sounds confusing, I can give you a really easy answer. You got to come in and plan in advance whenever you can because we are greedy. We're not greedy attorneys and care managers. We're greedy for our clients. We would prefer you save 100 cents of every dollar instead of 50 cents. Call us crazy. I don't know. I'd like you to save all your money. And you could plan in advance. You could avoid probate. You can get things to the right people. You could do whatever you want. Whether or not you have a spouse and kids and siblings, Pat, if you're still listening, it doesn't matter. Still worth a plan. And that's what we can do. We do it over a 1 hour free consultation. And when we're talking about care, and we're talking about, you know, crisis plans and nursing homes and assisted livings, we're going to get the opinions of the best people in the business. We're going to get Kim on the scene. We're going to get some of our Medicaid paralegals on the scene. You're going to have a very qualified attorney, no matter who it is. And we don't have an answer we're trying to get to, right? Kim's putting together that puzzle with no picture. We don't even know what it's going to look like, but we're going to take those pieces for what they are. This is such a good analogy, Kim. You're going to have to use this. It's a great analogy.
Yeah.
You can take whatever pieces we got, we'll put them together. For that gentleman who we don't have a grasp of their finances, guess what? We're going to be looking at tax returns. We're going to be monitoring his mailbox.
Right.
See quarterly statements, monthly statements, what bills need to be paid. Because we got to figure out what he's got to then know what our options are to protect it, as well as know how feasible is it for him to private pay and assisted living for the next 3 years. Because that may be the preferred option. But we just got to make sure he could afford it.
Right.
So, there. We do have time for a couple more calls at 518-476-5900. And because it is our most popular topic and it is next week, I do want to re-mention our seminar schedule. Tuesday, February 12th at Glen Sanders at 2 p.m. That's this coming Tuesday at 2-1 Glen Avenue. Wednesday the 13th at 10 a.m., we're going to be at the Holiday Inn Express, East Greenbush, 10 a.m., Wednesday, February 13th. I think we already have about 30 people for that seminar.
Oh, wow.
So seating is limited. Love saying that.
Well, the other thing, too, we should mention is that the Women's Expo that's coming up February 23rd and 24th,
yeah,
right? That
absolutely.
We're going to be at?
At Siena College.
And there is the Caregiver Coalition, the Capital Region Caregiver Coalition. They have a Tools for Caregivers Day on April 6th. I believe it's a Saturday, and that will be at Hudson Valley Community College. We'll be there. So there's lots of opportunities also to kind of catch us on the cuff somewhere and chat with us about certain things and kind of visit other fun.
Absolutely. The Caregiver Conference is coming up, what, in April, is it, or May?
So that's for the Capital Region Caregiver Coalition, and then the Alzheimer's Association has their big Caregiver Conference. The Caregiver Conference is April 16th, I think, yes. The middle of the month. I can tell you exactly it's the 17th, actually. The Caregivers Conference is on the 17th, and it's at the Albany Marriott. It's a full day of lots of education and meeting with lots of providers, and it's a great day. But lots of opportunities coming up in the spring to get out and see what kind of resources are out there, and I think that's part of the research we tell people is, like, you got to know what's out there.
Yep.
And really kind of understand the different services and things, and these opportunities are great ways of doing that.
Absolutely.
And we like to be there because we love talking to people.
It's amazing. We're just, yep.
Well, I think Dave was actually just complaining about that, wasn't he, Ben?
I believe that's exactly what he said.
I was kidding.
Kind of busting my chops.
I was busting your chops. We do have two more seminars, though, before I was rudely interrupted by Kim. Wednesday, February 13th at 2 p.m., we're going to be at Clifton Park at the Hampton Inn, 620 Plank Road. And then lastly, Thursday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2 p.m., Queensbury Hotel, 88 Ridge Street in Glens Falls. We'd love to see you guys there. It's amazing. The radio program's great because we could touch on things, and in some cases, people have the, you know, what's scared out of them because they're hearing things that they haven't really thought about, or they realize they should have done something earlier.
Right.
The seminars are great because over an hour to an hour and a half, probably an hour, 45 minutes when I'm doing them, unfortunately. We can answer questions. We have an ordered way to go through everything and slides, and it's just easier to understand rather than driving in your car or listening in your house. And then lastly, these 1 hour free consultations where we don't just teach a seminar. We look at your specific fact pattern, your specific assets, your specific family tree or lack thereof, Pat, right? And we apply the law to it. We give you real options. We can, we make your head almost explode. Almost. It's like when you fill a soda and it almost goes to the top and you get real nervous and then it goes back down. And we give you real options and something to think about. And it's not like you got to use us, but we really love educating people. And I think we're really good at it. And you should take advantage of it.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. Yes. Kim, I want to bring one more care fact pattern up to you, and it's a client that we've both dealt with. I haven't talked to you about updates because I just saw them on Friday. So dad is still living at home. Dad was trying to drive, and he was banging up his car left and right, which is super scary because we don't know where it happened. They take his keys. He'd call the dealership to ask for more keys. They eventually, I think, took the battery out and did some other things, pulled all sorts of cords, so he can't drive. He has long-term care insurance, which we didn't talk about this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's paying out right now. It's fantastic. It's going to go another 3 years, okay? And he's got a good plan, so good coverage in terms of the daily benefit that he's going to be getting. And what we did a year and a half ago, 2 years ago for the family, was we created a trust. Now, why are we doing a trust now if he's got long-term care insurance? Well, because so far so good. His ticker is feeling pretty good.
Right.
He's already 2 years in, and there's no plan for him slowing down. So we're worried about what happens 5 years and a day down the road.
Right.
So it's a little bit of everything, but you met with them, and home was the right option for him for now.
Mm-hmm.
And it may turn out that home is not the right option. It's assisted living. Long-term care insurance paying for it.
Right.
Maybe it's a nursing home one day.
Right.
Long-term care insurance paying for most of it based on their amounts. And so it changes. It's not like you meet with Kim and here's your answer. You know, have a good life. Along the way, you need to be part of the plan.
Yeah, things constantly change. And initially for them, even though they had long-term care insurance, it took us about 8 months to be able to use the long-term care insurance because we couldn't find a caregiver.
You know who I'm talking about. Very good.
Yeah, I do.
You're very good.
So a lot of what I did was help them. They had a private caregiver that they liked a lot. Of course, long-term care insurance generally doesn't cover a private caregiver. So we worked to find an agency that would hire that caregiver as an employee and then be able to be reimbursed via the long-term care insurance policy. But that it a lot of... You know, it's not just, a lot of what I do is not just, you know, home care. It's not just Medicaid. It's like you said, and you know, the two daughters are really doing a great job, but it's in constant contact with them to say, hey, how are things going? If there've been any changes, you know, do we need to look at a ramp at some point in the house? Do we need to look at, you know, an elevated toilet? It's like,
I am so impressed. You know exactly who I'm talking about. I did not write it on a note or nothing.
You did
Very
not.
Good.
Yeah. I know
that
our clients.
That fact pattern was even more complicated because the house he's living in is still owned. Well, it was still owned by he and his wife, but they were separated, physically separated, not legally.
40 years, right?
Yeah. So we ended up having mom and dad, even though they don't talk, deed the house over to the kids with a life estate for dad and mom. That was to avoid probate. That's to start the clock on protecting that asset. Oh, by the way, mom's not doing very well, but that's a different story altogether. So all these things get looked at. And, you know, this is not like a self-promotional hour. It's an informative hour.
Right.
But the point is that you can't leave the show thinking I need a trust or I need a will or I need Kim. It's I got to get more answers and get everything looked at.
Absolutely. I mean, because the number of people that come to us and say I need a trust or... You know, the doctor said, I need a nursing home, right?
Have a good weekend.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.